You are an old man who thinks in terms of nations and peoples. There are no nations. There are no peoples. There are no Russians. There are no Arabs. There are no third worlds. There is no West. There is only one holistic system of systems.
Back to another episode of System of Systems, the audio misinformation arm of the Safety Propaganda Counterintelligence Network. These are your hosts, Adam Lehrer.
And Matthew DeNicola.
And with me about to embark on a journey eastwards to Japan, I figured it was a wise decision to get some content in the bag since we've been rather slow on the upkeep. I just have so much shit going on. I don't know how I keep up with all these projects anymore. I mean, I told you, you know, I had a book contract fall apart.
Yep.
Because I got into business with a Gen Xer. You know, I broke a golden rule. So now I'm scrambling to find another publisher. I'm sure it won't be an issue, but that whole thing has just been so weighing so heavily on my emotions, because I worked for almost 3 years on this manuscript, and to just not have, even if it sucks at this point, I don't care. I just want it out. Like, I just need it out of my fucking system.
Systems.
Yeah, I need it out of my system of systems, just so I can move on to other things. Like, dude, I have an entirely different book deadline on May 15th that I should have done a lot more work on now, but I just haven't been able to transition my thought towards it with this other shit hanging over my head.
No, I get it. It's hard to switch modes too, like that, you know, and juggle everything at one time.
Yeah, dude. And I'm code switching. I mean, Botched Adification full length debut CD, Pump Metal, is out. I'm going to link to that in the bio so listeners of the show can go buy it. If you don't buy it, you're a fucking deadbeat and you're dead to me.
Okay. The best way to get consumers off their couches is to nag them. Or not
it's
even nag.
True, dude. I'm just so tired of us. It's like the first... What we're doing is creating content. This is work. Like, this doesn't happen in a vacuum. And if people enjoy the content, if they consume it, we're asking fucking $5 a month, you know? How many fucking streaming services that you don't even use are you paying for? But you can't help out your favorite fucking online people or whatever. It's just gotten to a point now where I just have no faith in humanity, because you're all such a bunch of broke fucking Jewish bitches.
But we're broke Jewish bitches.
I'm not as broke as I let on.
I'm not as Jewish as I let on.
No, I got plenty of money in the bank. I just don't talk about it that much.
Well, slide some over to me, buddy. Where's my share?
Yeah, well, you're getting you'll get your first cut at the end of the month.
Let's go. Yeah, commissions baby. Based, baby.
But yeah, just, you know, I just want, there's two films I saw recently that I wanted to talk about. One that inspired me and kind of got me obsessed as soon as I watched it, which is a 1980 produced for German television film by Ingmar Bergman, called Life from the Life of the Marionettes. And the other film is a new movie directed by some BPD art ho from Sweden or somewhere. I think, wait, are we, it was Bergman Swedish too? He was.
Yeah.
So we're dealing with two Swedish filmmakers right now. Rose Glass and her anabolic lesbian crime romance horror mashup Love Lies Bleeding, which I found to be an absolute, you know, there's been a lot of just like offensive films that have come out recently, but this one I just found to be doing basically everything that triggers me in modern cinema. And it's particularly like a letdown because I kind of feel like that movie owes me royalties. Like, I created the anabolic avant-garde concept. That's mine, you know? And this movie, I don't mind people. I like to see these topics covered in media, but it was just the film is just fucking sloppy. But let's start first with this Bergman movie. It's a very, very, very unique film in Bergman's filmography because he is, of course, as highfalutin, high art a filmmaker as the European avant-garde has to offer. And I definitely like some of his movies. I really like Hour of the Wolf. I like Persona. I like, you know, but I think I even more like the stuff that he produced for TV, like Scenes from a Marriage, and especially this movie, From the Life of the Marionettes, which basically it's about a couple that has no kids. They're both kind of disconnected from one another in a very subtle way. She's a whore, and he's a bit of a whore too, but less than her. And it seems like in the film, she starts being dismissive. She's dismissive towards him, and he starts having these inescapable fantasies of murdering her that culminate in a scene where he takes out his rage at his wife on a beautiful young prostitute. Anyways, what did you think about this thing?
I loved it. I do have a lot of questions though that maybe you can connect the dots on. Like I've seen Persona. I've seen Through a Glass Darkly. That was another good one.
Yeah, it's cool.
I think I tried watching The Seventh Seal, but that was kind of a snoozer to me. It was too, I guess, like didactic maybe, or
yeah.
And, you know, obviously he's not the same exactly as Woody Allen, but him and Woody Allen kind of put me in the same like existential mode when I watch their movie. And not to detour too much, because I just watched Mighty Aphrodite the other day. But I always think it's funny when people like just think that his movies are pure comedy when all of them have to do with like infidelity and like dying and existence and all that.
Yeah. Well, Jewish comedy is all about like death.
Yeah.
You know, it's that neuroticism. It's like, oh my God, I'm going to die someday. But that's why Woody Allen movies hit, because they're true.
Yeah. But Bergman definitely makes you feel in the same way, like completely alienated and alone. And
yeah.
I'm just thinking about halfway through the movie where there's that monologue from the homosexual character who is friends with Katarina, the wife, and admits to having an obsession with the husband in hopes that they would have an affair together. And he's like looking at himself in the mirror and thinking about I went to the doctor one day because I saw wrinkles on my face and I wondered if you could get them surgically removed. And it's all these like things just kind of coalesce into an overall mood, even if they're not like literally pointing at whatever the plot is.
Yeah, and you know, what was cool about this movie to me is that it's like a little trashier than anything Bergman has made otherwise in a really in a really kind of delightful way, actually. Like he's made kind of horror films before, but even his horror films still had the sheen of ultra prestige attached to them, you know? This movie, it felt like, you know, the stakes were a little smaller. He's being financed by West German TV, which is crazy, you know? Like,
he was like exiled from Sweden for some reason.
Yeah. He was exiled. I don't know if that was like a forced exile or like a self-imposed exile, but
pull the yay.
But yeah, he was living in Germany, in Munich. And the film does have a very German feel to it. Like
at the beginning, I was thinking of Petra von Kant, but
yeah, that sort of like unfulfilled feeling.
Yeah,
and that like feeling of like, what's cool about German cinema of that era, like Fassbinder especially, is these people are all living in the wreckage of World War II. And, you know, this generation is the generation whose parents were fighting for the Nazis.
Mm.
And I feel like that it's hard to decouple that from anything that came out of it aesthetically and politically. And these characters in the film are all, they're fucked up, but not like relentlessly miserable. They're just fucked up in very normal ways. Like, I like, you know, the first scene or the second scene when, you know, he goes to his therapist and he's like, look, I can't stop these thoughts. I keep thinking about killing my wife. I don't know what it is. I love her. We have a great sex life. We sort of have a open door policy on our marriage, but you can tell he's sort of lying to himself, that he is jealous, that he doesn't like their open doors policy, that he feels unloved. And his therapist is purely professional in the moment. Seems like he's even kind of helpful. But then as soon as his wife approaches the therapist to ask, what's wrong? The therapist tries to fuck her. You know?
Yeah, the irony.
Yeah.
Is this actually ahead of its time as a trad reactionary movement to polyamory?
I think yeah, but it was polyamory before like they attached the lifestyle ideology to it, you know?
Well, now before it became like like libtarded.
Yeah, it's more like
before there was a subreddit about it.
Yeah, I was just talking about this with Jack because we were all watching the new Roadhouse movie.
I heard that was terrible.
Yeah, well, it's definitely not as good as like the original Roadhouse, of course.
Yeah.
Hold on. I gotta change my vape.
It's like putting gas in your.
I know.
You gotta fill up.
It's definitely not as iconic as the original. I watched both Roadhouses yesterday. I watched the Swayze one, and then I watched the new one with McGregor and Gyllenhaal. The first one with Swayze is so iconic, and I hadn't seen it since I was a kid, and I totally forgot how edged out that movie was. Like, it's a hard R movie.